Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Wednesday, April 10th, and your Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. On the show today, Ben welcomes back award-winning journalist and regular contributor to the Benny J Show. That's right, it's Monroe Anderson for Monroe Wednesdays. The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. If you want to know what to do, where to go, what to eat, what to drink, you want to get tickets to the big party at the zoo going on for Best of Chicago, head to ChicagoReader.com. If you don't know about it, you're going to know. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, head to ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A, V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Arizona Abortion Wednesday, and here's why. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Monroe Anderson comes on this show every Wednesday, and he has been conversing with me once a week since 2017. It used to be Monday, but now it's Wednesday. And there are some times when stories break right before Wednesday, after, doesn't matter, stories break. Immediately, I get emails or texts from listeners going, can't wait to hear what Monroe says about this one. Okay, and they're usually related to Trump. So, wow. So the timing is perfect. So Monroe is standing by, so I'll set it up. So as everybody knows, the Republican Party is really struggling with the issue of abortion. They have over the course of the last 30 years or so totally given their party over to the most ferocious anti-abortion zealots in the country. They've taken control of the Republican Party on this issue, and they have driven out of the Republican Party anyone who has a more or less moderate view on abortion and will concede that women should have some choice in the matter. It used to be the Republican Party had quite a few candidates like that, but no more. They're all gone. Absolutely been driven out of the party. Then you got Donnie Trump. Now, Donnie Trump wasn't even a Republican until relatively recently. He's a complete opportunist. It doesn't really have an ideology other than promoting himself and getting rich. And he's very much braggart about having been promiscuous his entire life. His whole life, he's just views himself as this great Romeo, bragged about how during he set out the Vietnam War and spent all his time chasing women. So I just work from the assumption. And he has always been a supporter up until he became a professional politician of abortion rights, pro-choice, always been. So I've always worked from the assumption that a guy who brags about being a notorious womanizer, brags about having sex all the time, evidence shows that he's not really conscientious about wearing a prophylactic, will have impregnated women who he is not married to. So I've just worked from the assumption that Donald Trump has either forced women to have abortions or paid for the abortions. He's notoriously cheap, so I don't know if he himself kicked in the money, but was responsible for abortions. I've always worked for the assumption. I think most Americans, if they put aside their ideological biases, would agree. Oh, yeah, Donnie's probably done that. Yeah, down through the years. But he can't be a Republican candidate for president if he's honest. If he says, oh, of course, I believe our party has lost its freaking mind on this issue. And of course, I believe women should have the right to abortion. And of course, I've had women get pregnant over the years and I've paid for the abortions. Of course, we can't say that. Now, Donnie lies all the time anyway. So his position on abortion is just a lie. He goes on and on. Oh, the beauty of life, the beauty of the unborn. He tries to get poetic about it, which is like, it's such a lie because you know he doesn't have any feelings toward anybody other than Donnie Trump. So he's not going to worry about the unborn. Meanwhile, that's a not. So he's totally allowed the zealots to control the Republican Party. He brags about advancing zealot judges to the Supreme Court. He boasts about how his Supreme Court nominees were the ones who eradicated Roe and brought us Dobbs. All right? And then all of a sudden he woke up and he realized, uh-oh, this could cost me the election. He's going to lose the election, as we know, popular vote. We all know that. But with our cockamamie electoral college system, I may lose Arizona. I may lose Pennsylvania. I got to come up with some kind of stance on abortion that convinces swing voters that I'm not a zealot on this matter, that will somehow or other convince independent-minded women to vote for me who care very much about this issue. So on Monday, he made his big pronouncement. I believe that abortion should be up to the states. I could just see that little Donnie brain working on this. This ought to do it, you know, because he has such a low estimation of the intelligence of Americans, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks you're freaking idiots. In fact, I've argued, and I do believe this, Donald Trump has a lower estimate of the intelligence of American voters than Rahm Emanuel has of Chicago voters. And that's pretty low. Monroe may debate me on that. We'll see. So he came up with his solution. I'm going to turn it over to the states. I'm like the states. So that was his way of avoiding dealing with, is he going to kowtow to the zealots and come up with a federal ban on abortion, and also avoiding taking a strong stand and defending abortion? No, it should be left up to the states. I'm going to leave it up to the states. And he's like, whew. He and his advisors like, good job, Donnie. Yeah, that issue's done with. Now you're going to go win in Arizona. Fast forward. Less than 24 hours. And the Arizona Supreme Court, a bunch of MAGA zealots, rule that abortion is illegal in Arizona. Unless the woman's life's in danger. And good luck on that one, women, because you're going to have to go before a judge to get the judge to rule that your life is actually in danger. And suddenly, all right, you're going to leave it up to the states? The state of Arizona, a very important swing state, says abortion is illegal. Donnie's like, uh-oh. Donnie and his advisors are like, oh, that didn't work out too well. So everybody's going, can't wait to hear what Monroe has to say about this. Can't wait to hear what Monroe has to say. The expectation is building. So Monroe.
Yes.
Come on, man. You had a laugh at the karma of Donnie Trump with his big pronouncement. I'm going to leave it up to the states on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the state of Arizona responding by saying, okay, since you're leaving it up to us, we just made it illegal.
They made it worse than that. They revived an 1864 law. At that time, there were only 6,500 people living in Arizona. They weren't a state. I would have been somebody's property. Women couldn't vote. I mean, that's how far back they went to get this. And, and one of the rules of living there was you had to be a member of Posse Comitatus. So, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Arizona, from my perspective, has always been backwards. But they were even backwards for being backwards back then. And so they say, unless it's a woman's life, then out of luck. And already MSNBC has had a woman on there, on the air several times, who was having a miscarriage. And she couldn't get the doctors wouldn't do a procedure to take the dead baby out of her. So she had this, she's just carrying around this dead baby. She almost died. I mean, it's a horrible story. And this is Donald's problem and the Republicans' problem. The dog has caught the bus, and it is a problem. You can't, you know, the dog caught the bus, and the dog don't know what to do with the bus, and the bus is rolling, they're running over the dog again and again and again. And this all fits into my narrative that Trump is going to get a serious shellacking. And the Republicans are going to be bleeding red hats from coast to coast.
Yeah. See, and this to me, I've really struggled with this issue. I have a lot of conversations with lefties, and your old friend Ray Hananeo was on the show about last week.
Yeah,
and Monroe and Ray go way back. And so Ray was saying he's not going to vote for Biden because of Gaza. Now, we all know Ray's, he gets mad when I say it, but he's basically a Republican, so he wasn't going to vote for Biden anyway. So, but whatever. The difference between Democrats and Republicans is that Democrats, more or less, live in a world where they feel the pressure of more diverse group of voters, and they make accommodations. Now, they may not make the accommodations you want. They may not go as far as you want. The accommodations they make may actually undercut the positions you take. I understand all that. But you're dealing with politicians who feel as though they have to adjust from time to time. Republicans are led by zealots, and they don't care on any issue. If you care about the environment, Republicans, they don't even believe that climate change is real, Monroe. They think it's a hoax. So they don't, they don't feel they have to make an adjustment. And now finally there's an issue with a woman's right to choose, that fundamental basic principle, Monroe.
Right.
That having capitulated to the zealots, they don't know what to do because they're not used to making adjustments. They're just used to forcing the conversation to go further to the right. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't know how to get out of this. What do you think?
I think that the inmates are running in the hospital, the madhouse. I mean, it's crazy. It's obviously not a popular position to be in. And yet they do it.
I don't think they're capable, because immediately when the Arizona Supremes made their decision, this is hilarious, man. So the hardcore in the Republican Party, the hardcore MAGA, welcomed it. In fact, did you see that? It may have been on MSNBC, where a state senator brought a group of people onto the floor of the state house in Arizona, and they started speaking in tongues. Did you see that, Monroe?
No. They were speaking in tongues.
They were like speaking in tongues. I'm not making stuff up.
You mean like religious?
Yes, like, as in religion. Yes.
Oh, God.
And they were calling on the.
Somebody took them to church.
And so, now I'm watching even Carrie Lake.
Yes.
We've talked about her in the show with Steve Kraft, our correspondent in Arizona. Who is she's the far right wing MAGA lunatic who
former TV anchor.
Yes. Yeah. And she ran for governor, lost. Now she's running for senator. She is trying to compromise. Oh,
compromise. Right. But they have her on tape saying that she was for it before. And the other interesting about her now is that she finally sort of indirectly admitted that she lost the governor's race, because she didn't want any part of dealing with this controversy. since she is trying to win the Senate. So she said that was the governor's problem. I forget the governor of Arizona, what her name is. But anyway, she said that's the governor's problem, not hers, to deal with.
Well, okay. That's a big difference between conceding. I mean, I hear what you're saying. That's, in other words, she's, in order to duck and dodge.
She named the governor. I mean, she named, okay, let's say the governor. I should know this, but
Katie Hobbs.
Yeah. Okay. She said that's Governor Hobbs's problem.
So again, in order to duck and dodge in the issue of abortion,
right?
She does a backhand concession, which she will, by the way, completely ignore tomorrow if necessary.
Right. Because
again, voters, you're dealing with people with no principles. They don't believe in anything except for winning. You know what I'm saying? So tomorrow she'll go, oh yeah, I didn't lose. It was stolen. So whatever concession she made in a backhand way today, Monroe,
yeah,
will be out the window tomorrow. Do you follow what I just said?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So what do you think that the Republicans are going to do? And not just, I mean, this is unbelievable. It's in Arizona, which has got 11 electoral votes, I think. I'm doing that off the top of my head. It's absolutely.
Wait, okay, one word.
Yeah.
What are Republicans going to do? Lose. And when I say lose, I mean from the White House to the House. To the down ballot tickets all over the country, because this is going to be such an issue for them. You know, I mean, the Democrats are beginning to beat the drum. Uh-huh. You know, they're pacing it nicely.
Yeah,
and it's like every time the Republicans come up with some lie, the Democrats got to say loves abortion. I mean, hates abortion.
Yeah, you're right. And this is how obvious it is. So last, you know, Monroe's been predicting this stuff all along, and we have a lot of our listeners, you know, they read the New York Times, and, you know, they always write in, Monroe, I don't know, he's gone too far, you know. I'm nervous, I'm scared. And that's because you read the New York Times. The New York Times entire approach, their business plan is to scare liberals into reading and clicking on their articles by always predicting they're going to lose. They're the most, I don't know why any of you out there still believe anything the New York Times writes when it comes to politics. The business section, fine. The obituaries, top notch. Their arts, you keep up on all the gossip in the art world. Yes. Okay. But if you're following the political coverage of the New York Times, man, you are just wasting your time unless you're just doing it as a study to see how your brain is manipulated by people who are looking for clicks. Even the New York Times, Monroe, had a headline, well, the Republicans could be in trouble. What you think?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Thanks, New York. I mean,
they have infighting going on. I mean, Trump is skimming the money that they're donating to Make America Great Again. To keeping me out of jail. keeping my lawyers paid.
That is so true, man. All you dummies out there giving money to the Republicans, you know Trump is just using it for his lawyers. You know that.
Some of them love Trump so much, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Trump needs some money because of the crazy liberals are trying to put him in jail. Because he did such a great job for us.
Yeah. You
ask him what he did, and they have to think about it.
Yeah. Get back to
for them. Yeah, right.
You really went out on a limb. And I think you came back a little bit on the limb. You kind of covered yourself. In terms of Florida, what was it? You said the 50-50 chance that Democrats have, something like that. I think that's where you settled.
Right. It's 50-50. I said they're 50-50 before it's a done deal. Goodbye, Florida. Now it's in contention.
Yeah, it's in contention. And I do believe
Give me a month or two more, and I might just say, Biden got Florida. We'll see.
Florida's crazy. I don't know. That is, Florida is an insane state, but you
pointed- Yeah, I know, but this abortion issue is has superpowers for Democrats. I mean, it really does. It's like women, Republican women are going, whoa, wait a minute. Wow. I like sex. I might get pregnant. I might need an abortion. Yeah. What are you guys doing? This is too far.
It's so twisted, man. 1864. That's when the law was first enacted. 1864. All headlines. Bring back a law that was enacted in a ban that was enacted in 1864. Even Republicans are like, damn, that's a long time ago.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Maggie,
I want to repeat. Arizona was not a state. It was the Arizona Territory back then.
Damn. That is twisted, Arizona. You are really twisted. But yeah, you know, it's trouble for Republicans when the New York Times break from that model just for a moment. Now they're back to it, Monroe. They are, oh, Biden's in trouble, inflation.
I think the New York Times has the problem that a lot of liberals have.
Go.
Okay, Trump's election in 2016 was a lightning strike.
Right.
As in, the chances of that happening was the chances of getting struck by lightning. Mm-hmm. Boom, it happened.
Yeah.
So now the reaction is every time they hear thunder or see rain, oh, Lord, lightning's going to strike again and hit us. And even without all the crazy stuff he's doing, or without the 88 indictments, or even without the about to be convicted of rigging the election with the money payoff monies to the porn star and the Playboy centerfold. Mm. Without all of that, the stealing controversial private documents and keeping them in his bathroom. Even without all that, he is such a bad candidate that he's going to lose.
Yeah. Wow. Well, listen, I have mixed feelings about liberals, the fetal position they put themselves into regarding Trump. And I say this all the time. On one hand, if that's what motivates you to get out and vote and get other people to vote, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, so on the other hand, come on, guys, you got to be a little more logical and believe any old drivel you read in the New York Times. I'm going to reach out to Steve Kraft listeners. We're going to bring him back. That's our ace guy from Arizona. He'll explain what's going down there. But I believe if fights like this will be happening on state levels, because again, the Republicans, Donald Trump, they established the principle that there is no federal guarantee. There's no constitutional right that women have to an abortion. It's not a private matter of health between a woman and her doctor. It's not a life. It's not just a fundamental medical right. They said, no, we leave it up to each individual state. That's what they did last year when they eradicated Roe and brought in Dobbs with their decision. And Donald Trump celebrated it. He cheered it. He patted himself on the back for it. He bragged about how he put those three judges on there, his judges.
And the white Christians love him for that. This is why he has their undying support, is because he promised that he'd get rid of abortion, and he did. But the problem he has is they are not the majority of Americans.
Yeah.
So it's going to kill them.
Well, that faction.
And the evangelicals.
They maximize their strength, as you know.
Right.
Two ways. One, well, three ways. One, gerrymandering. Two, Senate, the way the each state gets two Senate seats. And then our utterly insane electoral college, in which you can lose and still win.
Yeah.
So they've maximized it. And then this is more of a David Ferris conversation. The Democrats are absolutely clueless as to change any of those disadvantages. So they're allowing all this power to go into the hands of a very relatively small group of zealots who don't speak for the country on any issue, Monroe, any issue.
Right.
Including climate change. And yet.
Right. No, they're off the deep end. But the problem is that they have convinced the Republican base that their way is the right way. I went to Indianapolis to see the total eclipse.
We're going to discuss this, but go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So I interrupt you, and you want me to discuss my nephew later instead?
Yeah. Well, when you're ready to make the transition.
Okay. No. I don't care.
All right. We'll make the transition right now.
Okay.
So we'll be discussing abortion impact throughout the cycle, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, bringing other guests to talk about it. Just wow. Before we leave, one more time, that contrast, that dramatic contrast between Donald Trump on Monday, so proudly unveiling his states are rights position on abortion, as though that took the issue off the table, followed so quickly by the Arizona State Supreme Court ruling. Okay, you're going to give us the right on abortion? We're going to outlaw it. Even the New York Times couldn't figure out a way
disadvantage. Right. No, they dusted off this 1864 law.
Yeah, they dusted off. They said,
oh, wait a minute. Have we got a reason for you?
Yeah. I'm like, wow. That was. And then the people started texting me. Bring on Monroe. Bring on Monroe. Yeah.
And the problem is that this was already a problem for the Republicans and will continue to be can you remember after Dobbs first hit, a lot of the commentators and Republicans were saying, oh, this will pass by the time we get to November.
Yeah,
old news. It's not going to have any impact yes. whatsoever.
Yes.
And my position was, this is a story with legs.
Yes.
So you'll be able to find some horror from now to the day before the election.
Yeah.
That some woman has been put through because of this.
I'm going to point out, we're sort of chortling here because we're taking delight in the Republican Party, the position they're in, because I'm speaking for myself. I really despise what the Republican Party has done to itself. I believe Monroe shares that opinion. If he disagrees with me, he's free to do so. And so they deserve it. But this is not the only issue, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know this.
Right.
The Republican Party on every issue of consequence in this country has turned things over to the zealots, and either denies the issue is an issue or lies about it and try to turn it around. Race relations, environment, labor law, inequity, you name it.
Gay Americans.
Gay Americans.
Is one of their top things they want to destroy. Yeah. Reverse this whole thing with the filthy gays.
All right, so let's talk race relations. So the Republican position on race relations at the moment, the MAGA position on race relations at the moment, is that essentially all the history that exists is basically been a distortion by radicals and lefties who are changing the narrative about Black people in this country. And that in reality, that's been pretty good for Black people in this country. The history of Black people and race relations in this country proves, this is the Republican point of view, ladies and gentlemen, don't get mad at me, has proved that this is the greatest country in the world. Racism was always exaggerated, even during slavery, and it's not, wasn't that bad then, that slavery is actually good for Black people because they could learn a skill. I'm not making this stuff up, Monroe. This is the Republican position on it. And that the greatest problem to Black people in this country are Democrats.
You're missing one of the problems, though. The reason the Black family has been destroyed is because of welfare.
Oh, yes. Yes. The Black family has been destroyed because of welfare. So slavery played no role whatsoever.
Right.
People seeing their loved ones get sold down the river. But no, that didn't happen.
Right.
They just learned good skills like, blacksmithing skills and stuff like that. That's just the Republican Party view of race in this country. That's their view. I'm not making it up. Go read it if you don't believe it.
And these people are inferior. So they were good back in the 1950s. They were good because they did what they did and they didn't bother us. And that's where we need to go back to.
So that's their attitude. Now, Donald Trump has taken it one step further. As Monroe points out many times, Donald Trump is facing how many different counts? I guess it's 88 now because three got...
Yeah, 88 because three got kicked out.
So, and for some of those accounts, he had to go to Atlanta and he was booked. He had a mugshot. All right? And he turned that into a pose of defiance. And he is now selling caricature images of that pose, T-shirts, et cetera, and so forth. And his position is that will increase his support among Black people. So somehow or other, this country, just follow the inherent contradiction of this. I'm just, again, folks, I'm just trying my best to understand MAGA. One hand, they're saying America's been really good to Black people. But on the other hand, they're saying, well, Black people feel as though America's been bad to them. And so Donald Trump, having been charged and having had a mugshot, will win over more Black votes. That mugshot alone will get him more Black votes. That is Donald Trump's position, Monroe. That's like, this is going to be a successful tool for me.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those, oh, he's one of us. We go to jail, he's going to jail.
So there's a comedian, Ari Spears is his name. I happen to think he's very funny. I don't know if I've ever heard him delve into politics. He's on the edge. I wouldn't recommend him to everybody. He's not for everybody. I just happen to think he's funny. Producer Chris, play Ari Spears' response. This is Ari Spears' response to Donald Trump. He's a Black man. And then, Monroe, I'll turn it over to you because it's the first time you've heard this. So yes. Play Ari's Chris.
Trump. Trump feels that his criminal indictments boosted his appeal to Black voters.
You know, I love my people. I wouldn't want to be anything but a Black man. If God asked me in the next life what race I want to come back as, I'm picking Black every day of the week and twice on Sundays. But I feel like some of us should be slaves again. Because it just the way we operate, we are so easily moved by the dumbest shit. You know, the fact that some of us would allow Trump to just insult us like that and still go Blacks for Trump. It's insane. It's insane.
So you're not voting for Trump.
I can't speak for the Latino community, but even when I see Latinos for Trump, I go, what are you doing? What the fuck are y'all doing? But I can't speak wholeheartedly for Latinos because, you know, I don't really know where their passion lies. But knowing everything that black people have gone through in this country and continue to go through to, on some level, you know, to be insulted like that and then still go, I'm voting for Donald Trump. It's insane.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Monroe, your thoughts.
He's right on the money. Yeah. Now I can talk about my nephew. My nephew is a Trump supporter. And my sister had been complaining to me about her son and suggesting that I talk to him. And I didn't want to. He's 53 years old, and he has a grown son himself. He's a good father, a good guy. He has a good family. He's a good man working with him. He's a machinist. He works at a factory that works on produces specialty steel products in Indianapolis. So I went to visit him. And I hadn't spent any time with him in 15, 16 years. But I had been forewarned by my sister how he was. And so I get there, and he's dropping one conspiracy after another. And it's all embedded in his language. And he really believes this stuff. And I love my nephew. And so, and plus he's bigger and stronger and younger. Than I may have felt the urge to smack him, but I did not. And I didn't even want to insult him. So I would just tell him, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You're being lied to. That doesn't make any sense. And he has a great deal of respect for me. So his response to, he would, as a preface, say, well, I'm confused. This is confusing, but, and then he'd give me one of these conspiracies. And some of them, I would go, where did you get that from? I've never heard it. And of course, he got it in the right wing, in the echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he works with these Trump guys and they're his buddies. He's on Facebook. And I told him he should have been reading me instead of this garbage. Yeah. Reading. But it was just absolutely amazing how, I mean, he thinks that he's doing better because of Trump. When Trump was president. And I said, well, I said, no, that's Biden. I said, are you making more now than you were 4 years ago? And he says, yes, but that's because I negotiated my contract with my boss. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing how these lies have taken place.
Do you remember any of the specific conspiracy theory other than, oh, I'm better off then than I am now, which then admits it is not true.
Right.
So right there, it's just like a fundamental. Right.
I mean, the conspiracies, I mean, it was a conspiracy that Obama, one of the things was that Obama got caught having sex with a man. And therefore, he was really like, that's why he's, I mean, they were so crazy. I can't, you know, I immediately dismissed them. Yeah. And many of them I wouldn't even discuss. I mean, let me think of some other crazy ones. You know, there was all sorts of Soros.
Okay, so let's just pause and think about the Obama one for a moment. Yeah. Moment. As absurd as it is.
Yeah.
Like, what's the ultimate takeaway? First of all, it's not true.
Right. Okay?
But what is the ultimate takeaway, the point? of saying it? Is it that, well, is it to say all politicians have secrets that they don't want people to know, and Donald Trump is just, his secrets have been put out there so they don't matter? So as he's trying to say, it doesn't matter.
I think that one was that the reason the Democrats are supporting gay rights is because Obama and other people like that are gay. Oh, and Epstein was murdered by the, that's one. Epstein was murdered by the Democrats, Biden in particular. Oh, and Biden, of course, got the $5 million from his son.
So in other words, so as I understand this, there are things that Donald Trump has done that have been established, and proceedings, very specific allegations that have to withstand the scrutiny of cross-examination and rebuttals. So we live very much in the world of reality, okay, with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They all get excused by these made-up accusations that have never been scrutinized, that have never been required to withstand any kind of serious rebuttal.
Right.
You could say absolutely anything you want and just say, we'll see.
Right.
Wow.
And any problems we have is because of the Democrats. And stuff that's bad with Russia is because of the Democrats.
So okay. Is your nephew to the point where he's wearing a Trump t-shirt?
No, I don't know. He didn't have one while I was there. He didn't have one. I don't think he's there. Yeah, but he hates government. I mean, government is any woes this country has is because of government.
Which is so absurd.
Yeah, right.
I mean, does he hate having his streets clean? I mean, it's just an absurd thing. Listen, it's like me saying, I hate capitalism. I live in a capitalist country. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's elements of capitalism that are so devastating. And I wish there was ways of curbing it.
Right. Now, I mean, the stuff he would say, I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. And it was so crazy that I just, you know, it got to a point. He had a cousin of his who came by to visit, too. He came over to watch the game. And he was repeating and adding to what Chuck was saying.
Which game were they watching?
The
the championship men's game?
Yeah.
Monday night?
Yeah.
The UConn versus Purdue game, that game?
Yeah.
I presume as Hoosiers, they were rooting for Purdue, correct?
No.
They weren't even rooting for Oh, man, I got to go talk to the nephew.
And they wanted to argue with me about politics more anyway, so they weren't listening. Well, because UConn took such a commanding lead so early in the game,
yeah, it was interesting. Anticlimactic. Yeah.
So they wanted to argue with me about Trump. They hate Biden. They hate Biden.
Yeah, I've had quite a few conversations with Biden haters over the last week or so. It's an interesting phenomenon. Biden haters, all the people, politicians in the world hate. They've selected Joe Biden, and hate is the right word. They feel very strongly about him.
Well, they didn't hate him before he became president. They didn't care about him one way or the other.
Wow. No, I've had MAGA people who are law and order, lock them up types, throw away the key types.
Yeah.
Tell me that Biden is bad because he supported the crime bill of the 90s that did what? Locked them up and threw away the key. Wait, why are you say you like that?
That's another reason. Although Trump only had one black person in his cabinet, and they couldn't remember who that was. They didn't know. You know, I asked him how many blacks, so they didn't have an answer that he had in his cabinet. And they couldn't figure that out. And I told them, they basically asked me who. I said, Ben Carson. And they said, oh. And I said, and in the meantime, Biden has a black vice president. He has all these other blacks in position. And they said, well, that doesn't matter. He put all these black men in jail because of cocaine. He put them in jail for having crack cocaine. In the meantime, his son had powder cocaine, and they just ignored that. And there was cocaine found in the White House. You know, that sort of argument.
What did you say? Did you ever?
I said lots of people go to the White House. That cocaine could have been from anywhere. And I said, I could drop some cocaine in your house right now, and you didn't know about it, and it could be found. They said, no. Hunter had that cocaine and left it there.
Man, they all know Hunter.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny because I don't know if you and I had conversations about the crime bill in the 90s, but if there were two people likely to be against it, it would have been you and me. And we would have been opposed vociferously by everybody who's voting for Trump. Do you follow me? And this is what I was getting at. So Biden and the Democrats, you know, they're very much which way is the wind blowing, people? And this is where the wind was blowing. All right.
Right.
Like, right. Well, now, no, Chicago,
it was the black Democrats that got that bill through because they were freaked out by the crack cocaine epidemic going on in their communities. Yes. So they said, yeah, we got to do something about that. And then the so-called white liberals like Biden said, okay, well, we'll put them in jail.
Yeah. Okay, if you want.
Right, right.
So, I actually, going back to what Ari Spear said, some of us should be slaves, some moved by some of the dumbest stuff. I believe Trump's been, his comments to Jews are as absolutely insulting as his comments to blacks. So I'm with Aries at the end when he went on that riff about Latino voters. I feel the same way about Jewish voters. Like Trump said, anybody who votes Democrat is a traitor to the religion. Who the hell are you? Who are you? You know what I'm saying?
He has a Jewish son-in-law, so obviously he's not anti-Semitic.
Oh, okay.
That's how the mentality goes.
That's what, it's funny because Ray Hanania goes, he's got an Arab-American friend. He's like, really? Yeah, he's got one. I saw it somewhere.
Right.
Anyway, country has lost its mind on so many ways. All right, we will close this. Monroe, I'm just going to ask you this question. You were in Indianapolis. This is a non-political question. You visited your sister and your nephew and your family down there. And you were the one who told me this. This is how ignorant I am. And I admit I'm ignorant about eclipse. That was the best place to go in the United States to see the eclipse.
Well, it wasn't the best, but it was the best around here. There was a pattern, a trail, a total eclipse trail through the U.S. from Texas to New England. And that part of the Midwest, Indianapolis, Ohio, they all had total eclipses. If you lived in Chicago, you got a partial eclipse.
Well, I managed to miss the attack. But did you go out? You actually witnessed it?
Oh, it was incredible. And
everything?
I loved it. Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. Before I had the glasses on, and the glasses were incredible in that they were true blackout glasses.
Yeah.
When you had them on, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Wow.
And so when you stared at the sun initially at the beginning of the eclipse, the sun looked like a Pac-Man. Yeah, it just had a little dent in it, mouth open look. Mm-hmm. And then it looked like a crescent. Then near the end, it looked like a crescent moon. But when it actually hit Then you could take your glasses off and look at it. It was this black ball and this incredible white circle around it. And in the meantime, it was outside. The temperature dropped. It was 70 degrees. The temperature dropped dramatically. You could feel it. And if you, it was this really weird sepulcher, almost a sepulcher look around in your environment. But then in the east, because it was moving from west to east, in the east, it looked like a sunset.
Mm.
Very low. It was very colorful and bright, but then the rest of it was dark. I mean, it was just weird. It was, you know, it was a real experience. And since you missed this one, the next one is in Spain in 2026. So you can go check it out there.
Okay, Monroe and I are going to fly out to Spain. We're going to do a show from Spain. I won't miss this one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I was derelict. I must confess, Monroe and I had lunch together on the Saturday before he took off to Indianapolis. And I was like, I'm not into the eclipse and this and that. And you were chiding me, and I'm kind of regretting it now, Monroe. I wish I had listened to you.
You know, it was a nice lifetime experience. I can take it off my bucket list now.
Yeah, you can take it off your bucket list. It's still on mine. So I guess I'm going to have to stick around a little longer to take that one off. All right, Monroe, I'm going to let you go and get back to your day. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, all right?
All right. Okay. Take care. All
right, very good. That's Monroe Anderson. Thank you very much. Also, I want to thank producer Chris. He does an outstanding job. I think Monroe will agree with me when I say, hey, producer Chris, give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody.
And don't forget, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows, get Benny J bonus interviews, read columns from Ben. You can get signed up for the Reader newsletter. You can get Reader merch. So much all at ChicagoReader.com. Lose yourself in the moment. If you want to follow Ben on Instagram, at Benny J Show. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, and tell your friends about the Ben Jarofsky Show.